a point to remember. We cannot class all men as lustful or all women as decent. There are many, many wholesome, decent men and boys around. There are many unwholesome ones around. There are many, many decent women around. There are many, many undecent women around. I think in the world, I don't think the men are a whole lot worse than the women. Do you? This might be a new thought to you, but I don't think they are. The women are sporting their bodies with spirits of harlots. What is the difference between that and lusting? They're both sins in God's eyes. Our responsibility is to dress and act in a way that will not give room for sight and then imagination in the lustful man's heart, or a feeling of inadequacy and covetousness in a woman's heart, and will bring deep respect in the hearts of all decent men. It is the careless and thoughtless girl who will dress in a way that others will have to look away at times to avoid unchaste thoughts or sight. Are you going to be careless enough to be Satan's tool to gloat over God? You take care to never dress in a way that will give a weak man a desire that you cannot rightfully fulfill. That is what defrauding means. Defrauding means giving someone else a desire that they cannot before God rightfully fulfill. And the Bible is warning us against defrauding our brother. Take care to not defraud your brother. Now I would like to say this. The man that will be attracted to the bold, forthright, immodest girl with no reserve or secrecy is usually an insecure man. A complete and confident man who will make a kind and secure leader is drawn to reserved dignity. I would like you girls to remember that. That is very important. You want a godly man, you pursue reserved dignity with your heart, and you might get it. You are a gift. If I would hold this gift up and this, how many of you would choose this one? How many of you are curious about this one and want to open it? How many of you would like this gift to see what's in here? You are the surprise package that God has made for Himself and for the man He wants you to marry someday. Your body is you and God's secret. No one else's. You are not your friend's secret. You're not even your best friend's secret. You are not your husband's family's secret either. You are God's secret and gift, and the man He wants you to marry, His secret and gift. Many girls think to be a gaudy butterfly that shows the form and shape of their body will attract a man to marry them. Any man that will make a safe, truly loving husband is one that is attracted to this. Reserve, dignity, a secrecy about your body. Learn to enjoy being a secret. There is nothing fascinating in something that has no mystery or unanswered questions to it. You look at the many girls that have very little reserve, how many of them don't get married till very late in life or get married at all. There's nothing fascinating to someone that has no secrecy or dignity about them. Revel in the thought that someday, if God chooses marriage for you, you can give your husband the gift of yourself that no one else has ever seen or had. You are God's own surprise package for him. Being a secret before and after our marriage to others who are not meant to know the secrets of our body will raise up a deep reverence and respect in the heart of our husband. Once we become married, many women have no idea how deep the respect and the reverence of a husband goes. You have no idea. Because you never worked hard enough to give him a chance to respect you. Would you like to have a man that you know, or your girlfriends pretty well know exactly what he looks like? Would you like to have a man like that for your marriage partner, and you know your girlfriends are thinking all kinds of things when you get married? Would you like to have a man that's that immodest? I don't think the man you want to get married to will want to have you that immodest. But there's no room left to have respect. Many times we want the awe and respect of a man. We will not get it without working for it. We need to work for this awe and respect. And the way we get it, and I am talking to you girls, if you want this respect for your husband in the future, you let him know we respect him enough to keep his secret. Learn to look at it through God's eyes also. Suppose you made your best friend's wedding gown. You loved her, you made this wedding gown for her. She starts to wear it to parties, different places, about a year before the wedding is ever there. After a bit, you start noticing stains, a little tear here and there. So the wedding day comes around, it has lost its pureness, its whiteness, its beauty. Wouldn't you be a little hurt she didn't appreciate your gift enough? You are God's gift for the man he wants you to marry. Don't hurt him by exploiting that gift in secret before it's time. Treasure it in secrecy and take care of it. God will be delighted in you. You save yourself possible heartache by keeping your secrets. You win a man by your inward ornaments. God will make him prejudiced to love you exactly how you're made. I don't care if you're a model or if you're not a model. He will love you prejudicedly and fiercely exactly like you're made. You win a man by your outward ornaments. You might lose him when your outward changes and you cannot keep it from changing. You get older, time marches on, you have children, your belly starts getting flabby and you start getting wrinkles. He might discover he doesn't like you. And he might discover he doesn't like the inside ornaments in you either. You will never save a marriage by outward looks. It's the hearts and souls that knit and sew a marriage. Are you pursuing a downward trail of happiness by wanting others to notice your size, shape, and body? It's like drugs. It doesn't satisfy and therefore gives you a craving for more. You go deeper and deeper into it until you have crushing results and lifelong regrets that you can never reduce. Let's talk a little bit about modesty to women. Just because someone else is a woman does not give you the right to exploit your secret. I realize there is a slight difference. How much that difference is, I'm not going to go into detail. You're going to have to decide that for yourself. But I would like to encourage you as young princesses, keep yourself as a secret, even from your girlfriends. I'm not saying you have to be absolutely every bit as modest as you are around men, but don't be a cause of a stumbling block of covetousness in another girl's heart. And just enjoy the thought of being a secret. Your girlfriend does not have to know everything. My sister and I grew up, and I know we were a little extreme, maybe. We were very conscious that we did not see each other without clothing, and even to change ourselves in our underwear, we'd often turn our backs to each other. And it did not make the slightest difference in our friendship, let me assure you. I don't know if it would be impossible for any two sisters to be closer than my two sisters were, or than my sister and I were. You don't need to exploit your secret in order to be close to somebody. Are we intimidating them? And we think, well, it's just my friend. She never said anything like that to me, that she, you know, envies my body shape or anything like that. They do not tell you their deepest feelings, or they're afraid you're not going to like them. Let's talk a little bit about makeup and jewelry. Good health and perfect cleanliness will bring a natural rosiness and beauty that paints cover up and they cannot compete with. There is something so refreshing about a radiant, clean countenance as soon as you put paints over there, you replace that innocent, fresh look with a look of hardness. You don't realize it sometimes. You think, well, if my eyelashes would just be a little darker, I would be prettier. You have no idea how much innocence you just erased from your eyes. You gave yourself a hard, cold look. And I kind of discovered that since we live in Lancaster. My eyes were so open already with all the flavors around here. It was really an adjustment to me, believe me, when we moved down here. And I saw these ladies, and once in a while I would see a lady that had kind of this hard, cold look, but she had a veil, and I kind of look at her. She looked so, she had so much the countenance of a worldly woman. And I just kind of studied her face, and it was just kind of amazing to me. And you know, all of a sudden it dawned on me, it's her makeup. That's what's doing it. She's erasing that clean, clear look. And do not apologize for not using makeup to the world. You are truly like a breath of fresh air to them, and you don't realize it. I've had a woman comment to us girls when she was around some Mennonite girls. She said, you are just like a breath of fresh air. Don't cover it up. Don't become like the world and lose that very gaze that is going to draw other people to Christ. It's your radiancy that is your tool to witness for Christ. Jewelry often puts a silly and vain look to your features that is not becoming to the princess. It cheapens the value of your radiant face. It does. Okay, let's talk about modesty at home a little bit. Some time ago, the brothers here had a meeting, and they asked for a raise of hands of all the brethren that were aware of incest. Does everybody know what incest means? Incest means, the proper way of wording it. Okay. Incest means anything sexual taking place within the immediate family, with a father or with a brother. He asked all the brethren that are aware or know of a situation like that to raise their hands. Would you believe it, in our circles, 50 men raised their hands? Almost 50 men? Being modest in our home is important. We often think, well, I'll wear out my dresses. And there is a little bit of room for that, maybe. But when is it right to be inconsistent, really? Do you believe in modesty if you're just modest when you go away and you're not modest when you're home? These things that these men knew about would never, ever happen if girls and women and men would dress modestly and stay in their place. Leviticus 20:17, and thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister, for he uncovereth his near kin. They shall bear their iniquity. This is God's heart. Leviticus 20:19 says, oh, okay, that was Leviticus 20:19. And if you saw your uncle or your aunt's nakedness, you were punished for it. Leviticus 20:17, it brings out that God cuts off a person from the tribes of Israel if they only saw their sibling's nakedness. He hated it. Incest would never happen if fathers, brothers, and sisters wouldn't have the capacity to lust. It doesn't happen very often, but it can and it does happen. Are you strong enough to avoid anything that will give the devil a chance to plant a thought into your brother's mind, even if he would never consider carrying it out? Are you a tool of the devil? We think, well, I've got to let my hair down in my home. We can just relax. And it's true, there are certain things we can relax in, but we do not relax in the area of modesty with our brothers and with our fathers. How far you want to go with your sister, ask your mother. She can give you some advice. And how far you want to go with your mother, That is up to you and your mother. Your mother did have you in her womb, and I realize there is a close relationship. I personally do not want my daughters to ever see each other naked after they're old enough that I quit bathing them together. I want them to have respect for their own body and respect for each other's body. And there's so much that happens and thoughts go through your mind and pressures that happen when people see each other. It's just not wise. It's just, you're avoiding so much and you are putting a respect in each other for each other. Another thing I really have a burden for, and this is swimsuits. A lot of us think it's okay to be immodest when we swim. Was Christ ever inconsistent in anything he did? Isn't he our role model? I'm not saying you can't go swimming, and you can make some fairly modest swimsuits, but I do not advise boys and girls to go swimming together, period. Because even if you wear modest swimsuits, they really cling to you as you come out of the body, as you come out of the water. But that stuff is creeping in. It is creeping into our circles. Girls go swimming with each other after a bit. The only difference between that and being naked practically is that they have a painted on swimsuit. It is very immodest, and they go to places they think, well, hopefully nobody comes. But there's a chance somebody would. But hopefully not. And if it is, well, I'm not responsible. You are responsible. If anybody sees you and lusts after you, take responsibility on yourself. It wasn't that person's fault that you were there. It's your fault. Your own feet took you there. My question to those that do is, why is immodesty okay sometimes and other times not? It's when we start becoming inconsistent that we start broadening these inconsistencies, and we think, well, if it's okay when I go swimming, then it's okay to have this little bit in this area. And I truly feel sorry for you if you like to swim, because I realize this is really a hard statement. But it is truth. I truly believe this. I feel that going swimming is no exception for modesty for you. And the thing is, if you do it as girlfriends, or you get really used to it with your brothers or something, you know, after a bit your brothers or your sisters get married, and then it's just such a little step away, your in-laws, and they will go. They'll swim with you in their swimsuits. And do you realize the man you are swimming with? It's absolutely no relation to you. He cannot but help make a mental statement or thought in his mind as to if you are good-looking or goodly shaped, or if you would, you know, and these thoughts run through, even if they're totally victorious, are we going to let him battle with the thoughts? We shouldn't even let a man battle with the thoughts. Okay, let's talk about feminine attributes, things that enhance femininity or respect. One thing I would like to say to you, and especially with Bible school coming up, is how you move through a crowd of people. If there's a whole big crowd of people, girls sometimes tend to get kind of stiff, and they kind of go like this, you know, and they squeeze themselves between, and the furthest point out of them is their butt. How many of you know what I mean when I talk about the shock that goes through you when somebody hits your butt? There is just like a shock wave that goes through you. And assuredly know it goes through the other person too. And when you're going here through Bible school, I would encourage you, it is very crowded and it is hard not to sometimes bump where you're not supposed to. I would encourage you to put your arm over your chest as you move through. I've learned that already in big crowds of people. I can move so much more easily and at rest if I put my arm in front of me, right over my bust as I walk, to hide that. To not give it a chance of bumping into something. And it, once again, it can, in a split second, give a boy a wrong thought or give you a bad name if you're like this, trying to squeeze between people. Okay, let's talk about splayed legs. I should have a chair. Well, I can sit here, I guess. It is very unfeminine to sit like this. Besides, it's immodest. You can stand up if you can't see. If you sit with your legs far apart and your skirt falls down between your legs and your hands are in there, it's giving you a focal point right in an area where you don't want that. And also when you sit, let your skirt be loose and feminine. Don't tighten it around you. That your legs are very, very clearly defined depending how you go. It's a little hard to do it with this one. Careless lounging, laying around on the floor in front of people, it puts you just a notch down in respect for other people, and they hardly realize it and you hardly realize it, but it does work. And stretching in front of people, it's those things that a true feminine woman tries to avoid. It just puts a kind of a improper view of you, or just, it kind of gives you a mannish name, or not very feminine, and we need to strive to glory in our femininity that Christ has given us, to glory in being what He wants and to glorify Him through it. Another thing I'd like to talk about is refined speech. Sometimes our friends put a lot of pressure on us, young ladies, and after a bit we are selling our femininity so cheap. We say words like shoot, shucks, gosh, oh, you know, it just goes on and on. Are you actually willing to sell your femininity so cheap? That really puts something less than the best in people's minds about your femininity. You just don't appear really feminine when you say a lot of loose words like that. Not only that, are you actually willing to totally override Jesus' teaching on idle words? That's a burden to me. Many people just think it's swearing, but He's talking about idle words. He's not just talking about swearing. There are many things that are not wrong in themselves. My goal for you is that you would look up to the heavens and you would have the goal of being totally above reproach, not going for anything that is questionable. Not because it's questionable, but we don't look at those things. Good, better, best. Never let it rest till the good is better and the better, best. And that's how we as princes do. We strive for the best we can imagine. We don't try to sit back and see what can I afford to do and what can't I. Put the highest goal in your mind of what you can be and you strive for that. A note to the tender-hearted. Modesty means moderate. A sailing ship of a dress can also attract undue attention. You relax under your authority, figures. Sometimes we get so conscious of modesty, we make so many inches and ruffles, and these things are good, but if we go overboard, we're drawing attention to our dress anyways. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, be a moderate in this, be as modest as you can, but you don't have to wear a dress, you know, that's a foot out either side of you, because that draws attention too. A note to those who might not be virgins. I know that there are girls that might not be virgins. If you give that part of yourself to God, maybe you don't feel like even striving for this because you feel like you've lost it already. God can make you that you feel like a virgin, whether you are one or not. He can cleanse your spirit. He can cleanse your heart to the extent that you have a total new start, and when you go to your marriage, you feel like a secret and you feel like a virgin. There is nothing below God. I'm going to say something that is going to shock you, but to show you that I am serious about modesty. Within the last 2 weeks, a godless boy was watching a princess walk past, and he went like this. Oh, isn't that a hot one? I felt like my heart was breaking for hours afterwards. That princess is in this room. Are you selling your good name, your femininity, so cheaply that the devil's servant, a godless young man, can gloat over you? this is serious. We think, well, I believe in modesty. It doesn't come close home. Just think about it. It does come close home. Reach for the best that you can possibly reach for.
Well, thank you, Dora. If your heart wasn't challenged by any point, I wonder if you have a heart. So many wonderful points there. I had a couple thoughts I wanted to share just briefly. When Dora was speaking about hoes, something that we have discovered, and probably many of you have, if you shop in many of the stores around here, they have hose by, if I'm not saying right, denier. It's the thickness of the hose, 20, 40, something like that. And you can get hose that are hose, but they're thicker. You know, they're not as thin. Some of them are called opaque. If you have a tendency toward being hippie, I find that hose kind of holds you a little firmer, and that can be a real positive, especially if you're wearing knit dresses, that the hose can keep you from jiggling, especially if you're a little heavier. I'm not saying you have to wear hose. I know a lot of our young ladies wear just a panty that kind of holds them more. This mirror idea is excellent. You can also allow your mother to be your mirror. Walk and let her see. You do the same for her. How do I look from the back, the side, the different angles? Also, I wanted to mention on swimming. Dora, I love to swim. You said if you love to swim. I used to be a lifeguard in my life before I was a Christian. But we have found making a swim outfit out of denim, making it mid-calf, making it a culotte so that it doesn't come up, we found you can swim very well, but we still don't get out of the water with boys in the water. You know, we swim in a pond and the water is not clear, but getting out, even denim still goes against the bottom, and it's just not like you'd like it to be a blouse underneath, you know, the jumper, and it's actually as modest or more modest than what most people are wearing in the room today, but the sensitivity there. By the way, those magazines are such a bondage. I grew up with them and have suffered so much from them. But Dora, do you know that those women, the models who wear the jeans, they have a special machine that zips them into it because they can't possibly do it. And it's an electrical machine that gets them tight enough to reveal the hips that way. Many of those models have had their lower ribs taken out surgically so that they can appear that way, bust implants, exercise 3 hours a day, lather themselves with shiny stuff. It's so unreal. You know, it's just not even practical to even think of it, comparing yourself. Okay. Mm-hmm. No. It's totally unfair. Do we have some questions? Did something come up in your mind that you would like to see discussed a little further?
I had a question when Dora was talking about the length of a dress, and I like that a lot about your comment about curves and just the underside not showing. And lately I've been thinking a lot about, well, the dress works fine till I'm going up the stairs, and then it's either dragging and getting dirty, or I realize I'm pulling it up. And then who's behind me as I'm kind of pulling it up? So the question was a general one to other people walked further with that and kind of have tips. What do we do with that?
I want to say, first off today, I have on a dress that's about 7 years old, and it's very long. I don't wear my dresses this long anymore for that very reason. When my church dresses become my medium dresses, become my everyday dresses, I found I couldn't, you know, I can't work in them if the skirt is real full, because if your skirt isn't as full, it doesn't sweep the floor. But, Dora, I appreciate that, too. Let me see up here. If you remember from Denny's teaching on the spirit of modesty, he was talking about the calf muscle here, and a harlot, actually the split came up so that that whole curve did show. And I thought that was a really good thought that Dora had about the underside of the bust and all, because lots of people do have more curve than others, and it does make it more difficult. Does anybody have a thought about going up the stairs? Now, tell me. I have on a real long dress. Maybe you can just tell me. If I go up the stairs and I'm catching the front of my dress, the back is still long, right? Was it? So that would make a difference. If you're only catching a little bit here, that wouldn't. I'll do it over there. If you just catch this to avoid it, the back is still covered. Is that right? Is that clear? Dora, also what you said about Bible school, I thought if a young lady would carry her Bible like this, that would feel very natural and you wouldn't bump. I know that shock that goes through you. You said when you bump somebody, you feel, oh my, this shouldn't have happened. Any more?
What is that Western clothes you were talking about?
We haven't seen a lot of Western clothes within our own congregation as much as some of the remnant churches are having trouble with it. I really appreciated what you shared, Dora, there about identifying with the lawless West. Ah, I thought that was so good. And who does our clothing associate with us with? We would never wear a T-shirt of a rock group. I mean, we wouldn't, because even if we get it at a garage sale for a nickel, we wouldn't wear it because we don't believe what it's promoting. But Western clothing, Betty, there might be more in Hutterite circles from Montana in that area. It is a specific style that has a, like men's shirts have a point on both sides, and vests, girls' vests, and I wanted to bring this out, and please don't feel self-conscious if you have one on. The vests usually have big points and tapers up, maybe a little pocket. It looks, not denim itself, I'm not saying that, I think denim is very practical and can be used fine, but this kind of denim has more trim, more outer stitching on top that emphasizes more curves and points and things. Any other thought on what's Western?
Yeah, that's one thing. I was thinking mainly of the Western type of vests that come in, and they are made in a way that it really enhances your breasts and it enhances your trim waist. And it's so pointy and so, like you said, it's trimmed so excessively. And it's not only that, it's the look of such a denim pointy thing on top of a simple plain dress. It just doesn't go with a princess. Another thing I wanted to mention that I forgot about, after I sit down, I think of everything I forgot. I wanted to mention about loose sleeves when it comes to hiding the chest area. Often our sleeves are so loose you can just look right in and see underwear. And I think that's another check you should do that I wanted. Oh, I really wanted that on the tank. It's too bad. I wanted them to do a check. When you go in front of the mirror, hold your arm out like this and see if you can zoom right in and see even the beginning of a swell or of your underwear. That is something to definitely avoid.
And also the depth of your armhole. If your armhole is deeper and you have on a white or a beige blouse where you can see the undergarment, either it needs to be lined or you need to have a full slip or a camisole, is that what they call? Little thing like that. On the points, I wanted to make that. When you have points, some years ago, there may be still some around, but there came a dress style that pointed directly to the holiest of holies. Do you remember? the dresses, they were kind of tapered in, and then they were full. They were very full, but the point came right to the most private part of your body. I remember my preacher back home had a message one time. He had seen a girl at an airport, and she had a tattoo. She had on hip-hugger pants, and she had a tattoo with a zipper from here down. I mean, it was just, come on. You know, the invitation was very clear. But again, it was drawing eyes to that part of your body, and of course we don't want to do that.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 7 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.